Okay. So, Tyson, when I think of my relationship with you, what comes to mind is not thoughts or concepts, but rather sounds. The sound of an axe chipping away at a long piece of very hard desert acacia, or the shk-shk-shk of rasping some clapsticks. A lot of what you offer in the written word is done so through the experience of carving, bringing pieces of dead wood back to life into song and story. Can you share with us a little what carving means for you and why you offer it as a container for transformative storytelling? You've even got a piece in your hand.
Yeah, so I didn't make it clear that I wasn't just saying, oh, hold this for me for a minute. Like, that's...
No, I'm...
That's the one I made for you.
I know.
All right, I just seen...
We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to Fox later.
Okay, but you gotta keep it.
Okay, I'll keep it. I'll hold it. We'll explain this later.
Yeah. Well, it all comes around to the same thing, you know. Like, everything that's good about, you know, what our lore, what Yin was sharing before, everything that's good about that, and also the connections, you know, with runes, you know, lore and recovered lore, everything that's good about that is around good border work. Like, we have indigenous border work is just human border work, like what most people have done forever, you know, and it should make people feel all right about diaspora. You know, we always think in terms of loss. Like, I've been sitting here in Melbourne for 10 years thinking about what I've lost being 3,000 kilometers south, you know, from my family, from my clan, Upledge clan. And I've just, I don't know, but it's been a gift, you know? Diaspora is not... Is not about loss. You know, you're carrying seed banks around, you know, of knowledge, and cultural recovery is just there for everybody. We don't know everything, you know, as black fellas. There's not, no single one of us knows everything. Each of us just knows a bit. It only means something when we come together, and sometimes we just couldn't be bothered learning any of it anyway, because we don't have to, because we've got law keepers who keep it. And, like, everybody in this room's got law keepers who keep their old law, keep their foundational law, you know. So when I talk about good border work, I'm talking about what we do when we travel, you know, when we use one of those three freedoms that every person has as their own sovereign law, is that you've got the freedom to refuse, to say, nah, fuck you, I'm not going to do it, if anybody tries to force you. And then you've got that freedom of affiliation, you know, that you can, you know, connect up and belong to any family, any tribe who takes you in. If you want to marry into that tribe or adopt in, they want to adopt you in. We've got that freedom of affiliation, and we have freedom of movement above all, you know, and we're supposed to voyage. Sorry, I'm looking at you the whole time. It's just anger. Not being creepy. See, that would be bad border work. because there's that... All those concentric circles of law, you've got that at that individual level, you know, your law as a self in relation, you know, that's there, but then you're always in a family, and then that keeps scaling out. There's different law that comes out, you know, to your clan, and then to your whole tribe, and then to your region, and then in the regions beyond that. And you have the right to travel. Everybody travels. And we always travel... you know, when we're talking about law, we travel for ceremony, where we connect up with people and we marry in with them, we have affairs with them, we have fights with them, you know, but we meet at the borders, because the idea of indigenous border work or border work in the global south has always been that it's a site of increase, it's a site of making kin, so kin making happens there, it's a site of ritual, you know, where we, you know, we create and we make, you know, really fluid dynamic spaces of increase together and kin making ritual. And it's about facilitating flows and norms of access. And that's how we regulate, that's how we do our border control, is by, you know, loving connections, making sure everybody's, you know, safe coming through. And that's it. And the same as the border between genders. you know, and you know how we do that kind of crossover and that border work's all good, but the border work is just fucked right now, like all over, and that's kind of coming to a head, and that's a crisis. Yeah, it's not just a meaning crisis or anything like that. It's bigger than that. It's that really invasive, not just defensive, but invasive border work. What's comforting about it, though, is that, sorry, Brad, I'll finish up. What's comforting about what's happening now, like particularly, you know, the Trump world and just all the big blocks of dictators that are, you know, trying to get it up in all those places. What's comforting about that is it's always a sign of imminent collapse. And fear of collapse when people start strengthening their walls, you know, and building walls where there weren't any before, making them higher, stronger. That's always a sign that they know it's falling. They know that, you know, and walls invite embellishment, you know. Like walls stop flows in nature, but also nature loves a wall. It's like, oh, there I can grow lichen there. I can grow some fungus there. I can put some spider webs there. The birds come in after spider webs, they're going to shit, there'll be seeds in that shit, and they sprout up. Soon there's vines all over it, there's graffiti, there's drug deals, there's people tunneling under it, you know, and soon it's just this beautiful thing that's, you know, nature finds a way. Yeah, because borders have a purpose. Borders are there to promote fecundity. They're places that we have to... Like we're drawn to those borders and to those others and to making kin, and like that's where the your black market economies start, at those borders there, and it's just it's inevitable, you know. We're gonna populate these places, and we're gonna come together. So we've been coming together for a good while around the Irish thing, and we've got people in Ireland, law keepers. We're sharing story with my beautiful partner Megan here. We just did a book about this. Snake Talk, and yeah, there's a big Irish chapter there, but the Irish influence is all the way through because she's practically Irish. She's a Burrata woman from central Queensland, but her dad's Irish, and she might as well just be from County Cork after time. Yeah, so, you know, so we set up these embassies. My lab mate and good brother Josh is here with his beautiful partner too. Yeah, we've been making embassy. Oh, all over, setting up these sister labs in Canada with Anishinaabe mobs. You know, we got the embassy happening in Ireland that Holden there's been facilitating, along with others, you know, into South America, in the Amazon. You know, all over we've got these embassies going, and you can't ignore the global north.
Just tell us what the embassy is. What's it mean? What do you understand by embassy?
That's when I say border work. Embassy is like the ceremony, and it's the law. That happens where your governance scales beyond your territory. We have common law in Australia, sunrise, sunset, you know, continental common law, and that governs our protocols of how we meet, our rituals of meeting and trading. So it's our economy when it goes beyond the local economy. And then sometimes he says, I'm genius, wait there.
Hello.
Sometimes he just does that.